Radio Transporter means WHCO.
Car folks on the go, it's 1-2-3-0.
It's WHCO. We love to have you with us. We want you all to know you're welcome on WHCO. Randolph County Radio.
From Rio Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. Time now for the People Speak program. We're taking your calls at 443-2121 or toll free 877-443-1230. Now, the People Speak.
And good morning, 9:27. I'm Jeff. This is The People Speak. Hope you're having a good day. We're going to be talking today with 58th District State Senator Terry Bryant. And we will go ahead and take our first break, actually. Get things started here, get that out of the way, and we'll be back and talk with Senator Terry Bryant on The People Speak right after this. And this is The People Speak. And again, today our guest is 58th District State Senator Terry Bryant. Senator, how are you?
I'm good, Jeff. We sure have a lot of fun trying to get everything organized, don't we?
The wonderful world of electronics, right?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And it's always good to be on your show. So glad to be on and just kind of share a little bit about what's happening these days.
All right. Good to have you. Obviously, we're getting close to the primary election, which is a little later this year, considerably later.
Right.
So what have we got going on in the state right now?
You're right that the primary election is 18 days away, and so everyone's jockeying for position. I think this is just about the time of the year or the election cycle when people start saying, I don't want to see one more commercial and I don't want to get one more mail-in. But they're going to be getting them for at least 18 more days, and then the whole thing starts all over again. So right now, I think we have 6 candidates on the Republican side and 2 on the Democrat side. Obviously, on the Democrat side is Governor Pritzker, and I'm drawing a blank on the name of the lady who's running against him. But then there are about 6 candidates on the Republican side, so... of course, your listeners all know that I'm very hopeful that that the candidate would be Paul Shimpf after July 28th, but that's the way things are unfolding. I have a golf tournament today, so while we're talking to you, we're starting to get everything ready to play golf at Acorn's Golf Links in Waterloo, hoping that the rain holds off for just a little while, but I think, Jeff, probably what's on everyone's mind right now, of course, is the economy, and gas prices are soaring. I did see the cheapest gas I've seen in weeks at the Moto Mart in Chester, so there's a little shout-out for the Moto Mart in Chester. It was under $5 a gallon when I drove by there yesterday, so we're over $5 a gallon if there are folks that are living in New York that are paying $7 a gallon, but here close to home, we're paying a lot for gas. And, it's unfortunate for the country, but it's especially unfortunate for Illinois because our oil reserves here in Illinois, whether folks know it or not, are nearly as great as those in Texas. We just have to tap them. So it's oil and coal combined. But the Illinois State Oil and Gas Association headquarters is in Mount Vernon. That's how much oil we have in that little region of Illinois. So, obviously, if we were able to drill, if we were able to get the leases out that need to go out, that would resolve some of our issues here. But more than the gasoline, I think what's on everyone's mind right now is a letter that they may have received from their energy provider, especially if they have Ameren, and letting everybody know that we should be expecting rolling brownouts this summer. And I think that will trickle down. The co-ops may not, if you're a co-op customer, you may not see the brownouts, and you may not see the cost of your electric or gas bill go up until the fall if you're in a co-op. But if you're an Ameren customer, you're probably going to see it on your next bill. The reason I say that it won't go up for co-op customers is they purchase their energy from Ameren, and so that may not hit until the fall. But surely everyone is going to see increased electric bills, and that comes from the energy primarily because of the energy bill that just passed in Illinois. There were no Southern Illinois legislators that voted yes on that bill. In fact, it was straight down party lines. There were some perks that were given to the customers who are ComEd customers. And as you can imagine, those are the customers up north. There were no perks given to anyone that is in the electric grid that is under MISO. That's M-I-S-O, MISO. So we're in the MISO grid in Southern Illinois. There's a problem in across 10 states in the Midwest because there's not enough energy on the grid to supply us all. So we have to purchase energy now to put enough energy on our grid. And as we purchase that energy, it goes out in an auction. The auction just happened. The energy sold much higher than we had, you know, that Illinois providers had hoped for. So that means our energy prices go up. And there's not enough energy on the grid to provide energy for everyone. So we'll see some brownouts this summer. Now, I don't know what time we're planning to go to break, so I'm trying to squeeze this in.
Okay.
So people are probably saying, what's a brownout? There's a difference between a brownout and a blackout. A blackout is when we use a lot of energy and then, you know, you just lose everything. You lose all of the electricity, hospitals, jails, everybody just goes out, and it can sometimes take 4 or 5 days to get the energy back up again. A brownout is when the company selectively reduces the amount of energy going to certain areas. So they'll choose where that area will be. They'll reduce the amount of energy that's going there, and that allows for hospitals and prisons and so forth to continue to maintain the energy needs that they have for obvious reasons. Brownouts are not fun. Blackouts are not fun. And to tell you the truth, I went to Nicaragua a couple of years ago on vacation. And while I was there, in Nicaragua, you have to, every so many days, it's usually like 24 hours every 7 days, you have no electricity at all. Mm-hmm. The government shuts the electricity off to allow enough energy to, you know, to refill the grid, however that works. I'm sorry, I'm giving you the best that I know from a layperson's perspective. But I expected that in a third world country. I don't expect that in the United States, the greatest country in the world. And I really don't expect it in Illinois, a state that has been an energy exporter until now. And, you know, and I'm going to lay blame where blame belongs. Blame belongs with those who voted for this energy bill. It hamstrung Illinois, and it's helped to create the problem that we have on the MISO grid. And that's a fact.
Yeah, I had heard a figure, actually it was our news director, Tim Petrovich, in his news a few days ago, mentioned, I guess it was in a release from Ameren, that customers could expect increases up to $600 over the year. In their electric bills.
They can expect somewhere between $40 and $60 in a residential setting. But add to that schools, prisons, manufacturing facilities. We have a lot of manufacturing facilities in this listening area. So you can, it's not just Gilster Mary Lee, although, you know, I've already heard from them, but we have you know, Redbud Industries, we've got, I could tick off half a dozen that are going to be affected by this. So let's dial it back just a little bit to something we can wrap our minds around, because actually property taxes fit into this as well. And here's how. So schools right now. I heard from little school in Union County, Jonesboro. Jonesboro is expecting their energy costs to be $30,000 higher this next year. That's not including the diesel that they're going to have to purchase. So just on electric alone, that's $30,000 to that school. Well, who pays for that extra $30,000 of energy? The taxpayers do. So what ends up happening is the school districts are forced to raise property taxes in order to meet the energy needs that they're going to have for the school. So all of this is a trickle-down effect. Just like we've seen with the high cost of gasoline, we're seeing our groceries go up. We're going to see, I hope that this doesn't come to fruition, but the fact that we're going to see problems with wheat being distributed to parts of Asia and Africa due to the war in the Ukraine. You know, Ukraine supplies the majority of wheat to Asia and to Northern Asia and to Africa. And so that's going to make our wheat prices go up here. Fantastic if you are growing wheat, right? But not so fantastic if you are the manufacturer who's going to have to purchase the wheat in order to make bread, cereal, and all the things that we make with wheat here, not to mention the fact that prices will skyrocket in order to supply needs for all of the other countries who are now going to be hurting for those agricultural goods. So all of the decisions that are made at the state and federal level, as you know, cause a trickle-down effect. And this trickle-down effect that we may be seeing, we need to prepare for. So I don't want people to be clutching their pearls and be, thinking the world is going to end tomorrow. But so they can take some steps to prepare for that. Have been having conversations with Ameren. I think Ameren will be prepared to make some announcements shortly. They're going to have we already have LIHEAP for those who are low income, but there's going to be some other help for folks who don't qualify for LIHEAP but might need to have a little bit of help with their energy. I think they're also going to have some help for veterans. So I think there will be some help out there. I expect that the legislature, when we meet for veto session, I would really like to see us meet before veto session. I think gubernatorial candidate Senator Darren Bailey and some other legislators just this past week called for the governor and the legislative leaders to call us back into session so we can deal with these energy issues. We need to be dealing with the high cost of gasoline. The Republicans had a plan that would have frozen the gas tax and also would have allowed a 1% reduction in the sales tax, which would have been nearly $1 billion in savings to Illinois consumers. That bill never got called. So if there's a different plan, if Governor Pritzker's administration has a different plan, the 2-cent freeze that they passed in July, that's just not going to cut it. What that means is our gas won't go up 2 more cents, but it doesn't give us any immediate relief. So in this case, I'm with Senator Bailey on this and calling us back to session and dealing with what's going to be this high cost of energy as well as the gasoline prices.
Right, and you and I have talked about it before, and Paul Schimpf and I have talked about it before. The sales tax you mentioned, you know, that Illinois is one of those where the state sales tax is tacked on after all the other taxes have been included. So therefore, in essence, it's a tax on a tax.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So we pay for our gasoline, which also has a federal tax included on it. We pay our sales tax, which is great. That goes to our municipalities and townships. But then on top of that, it's the other way around. We pay for our gasoline. We pay our motor fuel tax, which funds our roads and bridges. Then we pay a sales tax on top of the gasoline and the motor fuel tax. So that's where it, you know, becomes difficult, because the sales tax pays, that's the money that goes to our municipalities, our counties, our townships that have to pay for them. So we have to be very careful what we do with that sales tax. But we have a, I think it's 6.25% sales tax on top of our motor fuel tax. The Republican plan was to reduce that by 1%. That alone was going to save $200 million. So, and as gas prices go up, basically what the state of Illinois is doing is it's making consumers pay a percentage of the bad government that they have been experiencing, both at the state level and at the federal level. And I'm sorry to say it, but that lands smack on the doorstep of J.B. Pritzker and Joe Biden. Their administration's policies are creating an environment that's causing these prices to go up, and then we have sales tax that is by a percentage. So, in essence, the more the gas prices go up, the more the state of Illinois benefits, and they're benefiting from the fact that we've had poor government. So, over and over again, it is our own government, and I realize I'm a part of that government. However, I'm fighting as hard as I can to try to turn this massive ocean liner around. And we're not going to be able to do that unless we have a different governor, because this governor clearly cares more about expanding abortion rights and giving more rights to undocumented immigrants than he does about the citizens of this state.
Exactly. And as you said, the governor is supposedly the leader of the state. He's the captain. So it doesn't matter what the people say. He can still offset it and get his will and his way if he wants to.
Well, yeah. I mean, so whoever the governor of the state is sets the policy for the state. Now, you know, the Senate and the House run the legislation. It gets voted on in the House and the Senate. So we have to shoulder our part of the blame for whatever is going on, but the majority party is the party of this governor. So the governor basically tells Senate President Harmon and Speaker of the House Chris Welch the policy that he wants pushed forward, and they work as his tool to get that policy pushed through. I've now been in the Senate for 2 years. In that 2 years, the Speaker of the House has been Chris Welch, and the President of the Senate has been Don Harmon. And to tell you the truth, I haven't seen them buck Pritzker on one thing. Not one. You know, so it's very difficult to say that, you know, for the governor to say, well, that's the legislature's responsibility. Well, technically it is the legislature's responsibility. But the leadership of the Senate and the House are all part of the same party that belong to the governor of this state. He's making policy. So if we don't have a change, his policies will move forward for 4 more years. So I advocate for a new governor. And to tell you the truth, I would say that the 6 Republican candidates, any of them would have a better policy, would have better policy moving forward than what we're seeing with the present governor.
Right. All right, I'll tell you what, we do have a break here. We'll go ahead and get that in and get that out of the way. And we will come back. We'll be back in a moment and talk some more with Senator Terry Bryant here on The People Speak right after this. Talking with 58th District Senator Terry Bryant. And Senator, we've been talking about energy prices, how things are going to be going up, and the brownouts and all that, gasoline and the sales tax. A lot of times, you know, people have questions and stuff, and we only get a chance to talk once a month or whatever. But I'm looking at your website. You've got some events coming up here in the near future in the area where you're going to allow people a chance to come in and just chat about some of the things they've got on their minds.
Yeah, and I think I'll give you some dates here in a second. What I'm trying to do is think of them as a town hall. And so we call them coffee and conversation. I think some of them are called talks with Terry. We had one at Leaf of Brow last year that we called Conversations Untapped. Just think of those as a town hall. So it's an opportunity for people to come in and talk about the things that are on their mind. It's a chance for me to give them answers, for us to get to know each other a little bit better. You know, I'm when I was in the House and now certainly in the Senate. I like to think I'm a very hands-on legislator, so that means I need to be face-to-face with the constituents in the district. So I want to come to them as opposed to them having to drive to Mount Vernon or to Murfreesboro to either of the offices. So we want to do these. I also have a couple of senior fairs coming up. So folks should have gotten a mailing about the senior fairs that are coming up. We'll have one in Mount Vernon, one in Carbondale, and one in Waterloo. As those come too, we'll have more information on these, what we can do to reduce energy usage, to try to bring your bill down. We'll have some handouts. We've also asked for Ameren to be there. We'll try to get some of the co-ops there as well, so folks can answer questions about that. simple things like, keeping your blinds closed, that keeps the heat from coming into the house, having ceiling fans, making sure that you've checked your ceiling fans so that in the winter it goes in one direction, in the summer it goes the other direction, and that can help to reduce those costs. We'll have a lot of those kind of things available. And those are going to be, right now, the ones we have scheduled are on June 14th and June 15th. So we have one on Tuesday, June 14th at the Marissa Public Library. That's June 14th, the Marissa Public Library, from 5 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. From 5 to 6:30. And then on Wednesday morning, June 15th, we'll be at Reed's Harvest House in Chester from 7 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. That's Reed's Harvest House, 7 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. on June 15th. And then also on June 15th, so that evening, from 6 p.m. to 7:30, we'll be at Alangi's Italian Restaurant in DuQuoin. And so it doesn't cost you anything to come to those. Come with your questions. Come prepared to tell me things that are of concern. I know one of them in DuQuoin is that area on 51 going north by the Casey's. I hate to keep using the term third world country, but that's what that road looks like there. And so IDOT has a plan for it. I'm sure people would like to come in and just check that that is still on target to be fixed. We got a lady just called me, private messaged me last week about a concern on some guardrails between Ellis Grove and, I think it's between Ellis Grove and Chester, or Ellis Grove and Redbud. And so we're going to be going and taking a look at those before the, before we have our coffee and conversations. And then, of course, for Marissa, there's always the concern of how they flood. On almost every rain event, there's a flood in Marissa. And so we just have a whole lot of things going on. Hopefully I'll have an update for folks about the Chester Bridge. I know that there is a meeting in Missouri that's coming up. I'm planning to attend that to just give us the update on that. The construction on the bridge will be starting shortly, so we'll have a little better idea of actual dates and the actual location where the new bridge will be. That is all happening, and so it'll be good to be able to update folks on all of those events.
Right. I just came across that bridge a couple days ago, and then definitely needing a new structure there.
I think we have to say third world again.
True. Yeah. When I'm on a bridge, I don't particularly like to see the water right under me. To the sides is okay.
Yeah. There's actually, there was last year, there was a big chunk missing and a piece of rebar sticking up. So MoDOT got on that right away. Sometimes it's MoDOT's problem, sometimes it's IDOT's problem. In this case, the Chester Bridge, the majority of the expense and the actual planning of the bridge is Missouri's responsibility this time. It was delayed because Illinois, when Missouri was ready last time, Illinois was in the middle of a budget impasse. And so we could not provide the money to do our part of the bridge, which is like the entrance ramp on our side. It's part of the reason, unfortunately, that we had to have the increase in the motor fuel tax, and that's because we had no money, and then we also, because we didn't have money, there was no ability to match dollars from the federal government. We now have an infrastructure plan from the federal government, Illinois has the matching funds that we need for that. And so that project will be moving forward, and it'll be moving forward here shortly.
All right. Well, Senator, it looks like we're out of time, but I appreciate you taking time to talk with us today.
Yeah, always a pleasure, Jeff. Thanks to everybody who listens in.
All right, and we'll talk to you next month.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. For the People Speak, I'm Jeff. We will talk to you tomorrow. Have a great day.